Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson. This is Kent Steinbeck in the house, and we're coming to you from Herb's House, which is a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas. We do a lot of ministry here, Kent, and we do the Bible study here on Thursday mornings, and we do Steadfast Hope here. So this is just kind of the epicenter of what's going on. And we are in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. And the title of this is Spirit Power. Spirit Power. And I want to begin by reading the verse, and then we're going to talk about it. So God's Word says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake." So, Kent, God's design is that there be great power in the preaching of the Word of God. And Paul is reminding the Thessalonians that when he was there, and the record of that is in Acts chapter 17, that when Paul was there, he preached the gospel to them, and the gospel is of first importance, right? I mean, no one can be saved without the gospel. And so he preached the gospel, and he said, not only in word only. Now, it must be in word. There must be the content of saving truth that is made known. And Paul brought that truth of Christ and him crucified to the Thessalonians on his missionary journey. But he said it didn't come in word only. There has to be another dimension. And he said, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. And what this is referring to is the power of the Holy Spirit working through the preaching of the Word of God. And really the power of God upon Paul as he preached the Word of God. And we know that in order for preaching to be effective and effectual, that there must be the power of God upon the preacher. And this really is in fulfillment of so many passages of Scripture in the Bible. I think of Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach, to proclaim liberty to the captives." And Jesus reads that passage in Luke 4, I think it's verse 18, that Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit during his earthly ministry within his sinless humanity to preach the word. And Paul is reminding the Thessalonians that when I was there, I wasn't just talking the message. I was empowered to preach the message in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is really in fulfillment of Acts 1 and verse 8. And Kent, let me just read that verse. I can cite it from memory, but I want to make sure I read it correctly. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." And that's what this is talking about. And then Paul adds, "and with full conviction." He's talking about the conviction in the preacher here. Now, of course, there needs to be conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment in the heart of the listener. But in this particular text, it's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in the preacher to deliver the message, but also full conviction within the preacher. And what this means is that Paul was aware that God, the Holy Spirit, was giving him an unusual measure of assurance of the truth that he was preaching and the listener's need for the truth, that he was preaching he himself was convinced that the gospel is the only way of salvation, and that his listeners there in Thessalonica desperately needed to hear this message. And so, Kent, God's design is that the Word of God go out in many different ways, but the primary means of grace is through the preaching of the Word of God and God at work in the life of the preacher. And then he adds at the end of verse 5, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. And this whole verse really is focusing upon Paul as the preacher, that he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He had full conviction of the truthfulness of his message, and that he was living a holy life, a godly life. And that, too, was the result of the Holy Spirit's work in him. So, Kent, we want to talk about this, and this is so important for the spiritual health of any church that is sound, that has people who truly know the Lord, where they have sound doctrine, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is at work in the preaching of the Word of God.
What a great text. I can, just to go back to what you said originally on the word power, and to talk maybe what our listeners might be thinking, that power, explain what the power is. For it's not the strength to preach for an hour necessarily. It's not a louder voice.
Right.
It's not necessarily emphasizing words. What is this power that you're talking about?
Oh, Kent, that is a great question. The power really begins with the mind of the preacher, that he is empowered by the Spirit to understand what this passage is truly saying and to give him the right interpretation of this passage. More than that, as he's standing to preach, his mind is enlivened to be able to recall his study. The Spirit of God will also bring thoughts to his mind as he preaches that he had not even thought of as he was in his study, but that just flashed the forefront of his mind. Mm-hmm. The power is also seen, as it says here, in full conviction, that there's no doubt in his mind that this is the absolute truth of God. And the power is also seen in that God gives him, he is empowered with a supernatural love for the people to whom he speaks. He desires God's best for them. He desires for them to either be saved or to be further sanctified in the truth. And I think part of this power, too, is a boldness, mm-hmm. and a conviction, mm-hmm. A courage, mm-hmm. To speak the truth, because it's not always easy to speak the truth, because truth is so provocative, and many times it's controversial, and we say things that we know there's going to be pushback, mm-hmm. from listeners. And the power of the Holy Spirit, nevertheless, is driving us forward to speak the full counsel of God and to hold nothing back, knowing it may result in persecution. It may result in tribulation. But he is so empowered, he must speak the truth. It must come out of him, and he speaks the truth in love. And Ken, I would add one more thing, and then I want to toss it back to you. I think that he is empowered to be faithful to God, to give a full disclosure of the truth, and a desire for God's approbation, for God's approval, for God's amen. So all of that is a part of being empowered. And I guess even to add one more thing, a strong resolve for the gospel to go forward and to bring men to the intersection where they must decide which way they will go. Mm-hmm. That is a part of being empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that was my next question. So if we are blessed to listen to a preacher who is empowered by the Holy Spirit biblically, then what is that supposed to do biblically in the life of a believer that comes to church and in the life of an unbeliever that comes to church? What is that power for? Yeah. What is the result of that power in the lives of?
Yeah. Oh, that is tremendous, Kent. The power is for the word that is preached to have entrance into their heart and soul and life, that they would, with their mind, understand and grasp the truth, that they would sense the absolute importance of this truth, that there it would grip the listener, and the listener would be brought to a sense of urgency to respond to the truth, not to set it aside, not to procrastinate, not to even reject it, but to welcome it and receive it and realize, I must act upon this truth now. This truth is making claims upon my life. And there needs to be a sense of the immediacy of the moment as the Holy Spirit brings this truth to bear upon my heart and soul. So it doesn't just lay on the surface of the listener's life. It has penetrating power. It really cuts down to the bone of the listener. So, Kent, I mean, that is a great question. And we all need to be in a church, number one. Number two, where the word is preached in power of the Holy Spirit.
Because I need power. I need this power in my life to live.
Yeah. And the power comes from the word of God being released in my life as I welcome it and receive it into my heart and soul. So, Kent, this is a great study, and I just trust that as you have been listening to this devotion this morning, that it's really caused you to think, perhaps about where you go to church, what kind of preaching do you sit under, do you pray for your pastor and for his preaching to have greater power upon it, and do you pray that the word will have great entrance into your life and transform you greatly? And these are all applications of this text that we've looked at. Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. And Kent and I cannot wait for our next time together to be able to bring you more of the Word of God. God bless you. Thank you.